This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. Joining me now, we're rocking on this Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse, host of Broncos Country Tonight, Benjamin Albright. Benjamin, thanks for rolling with me, man. We've been so scattered here today. We got a lot of great guests on, yourself included, probably the best guest we've ever had. So forgive me for calling an audible, but we got you on the program, my friend. Happy to have you.
Well, sucking up will get you everywhere. So, the minute you started doing that, I was like, I got to call in. These guys need me right now. They put up the Venn signal. It's like a face of a white Steve Urkel gracing the clouds instead of Batman.
We did. Michael is beaming back there, by the way, since you dropped a nerd reference. It's all very good and acceptable here on this show. So, well done.
This is what I do it for. I give it back to you.
Well, people. You do. You give it back to us. And the Broncos, they've been giving it back to their fans. 10-2, Benjamin. Still not sure how we got here. It's been crazy. Every game has been nuts, it seems like. But somehow here we are at 10-2, and the Broncos maybe have a realistic chance to be the number one seed overall when it comes down to the end here.
Yeah, it's kind of hilarious because you look at this thing and you're sitting there saying, but are we any good? And then you look at the record at 10-2, and you're like, well, I guess we are. We keep finding ways to win, and that is a hallmark of a team. It's doing the right things, whether everybody else says it looks bad or they're the worst 10-2 team or whatever else. And I'd encourage every Broncos fan out there to quit letting these nerds, steal your joy. Don't let pro football dorks, power rankings be a thief of joy to your stuff. Who cares what they think? If you didn't care what they thought about anything else in your life, why would you care what they thought about the Broncos? They don't even watch them. Forget the four-letter network. None of that. We're 10-2. Enjoy the ride.
Well, it's interesting, too, because both teams at the top here, the Patriots and the Broncos, are receiving their share of, well, who have they played? Who, their schedule's weak, whatever. Both teams are kind of getting that. Maybe, I don't know who's getting it more, but it just depends on who you watch and the day, I suppose. But both teams probably feel like they're the top two teams in the AFC, yet they're underdogs in this whole play once we get to the playoff picture.
Keep underestimating it. There's an old adage that I think is one of the best quotes out there, and that is you don't have to be the best football team in the country. You just got to be the best football team in the stadium that day. And if you keep doing that, at the end of the day, you're going to wake up and be the best football team in the country. And so, I think when it comes to that kind of stuff, who cares what guys like Screamin' A. Smith are out there saying? At the end of the day, the Denver Broncos are 10-2, and that guy can rant and rave till he's blue in the face. They're still going to be 10-2.
Yeah, no, well done on the name, too. Yeah, that's good. Well, it's the thing, Benjamin. Like, you've covered the NFL for a long time. You've covered the Broncos for a long time. And I've always kind of came back to, like, there's no written rule how you're supposed to win. I remember that Patriots team with Tom Brady and Randy Moss. They were blowing teams out of the water. They were just destroying teams. And when it came down to it, they beat everybody except for the New York Football Giants in the Super Bowl. There's just no written rule of how you're going to win. There are certain teams. The Eagles were ready to fire Sirianni last year at the beginning of the season. Not the Eagles, but the fans were. And then they go on after that rocky start, and they win every game, including the Super Bowl. It doesn't always go like it's scripted, or is it scripted? Like it's supposed to go. Sometimes teams just catch fire, and the Broncos are learning ways to win in different ways, and I suppose that's, to me, that's a major positive.
Sometimes you just got to wait for a football team to grow up. You know, you got young guys, you got to wait for them to grow up. You got to wait for it to mature. It's just like a whiskey, just like a wine, just like your kids. Sometimes you got to wait for them to mature. Some kids mature faster than others. Some don't. You know, I'm still, I'll be 45 next week, and I'm still working on passing the 20-year-old maturity level. So, you know, it's just some of us grow up faster than others. And so I think that's part of the thing. And if you're a coach in the NFL, if you're an executive in the NFL, you got to quit worrying about what the fans think, because the minute you start worrying what they think, you're going to be sitting out there with them. So you got to find ways to just believe in what it is that you're building, continue to empower the people around you to build it to their maximum potential, and go from there.
I've asked you this a lot during these segments on Friday, Benjamin, but you know, about Bo Nix. And that's the, you know, obviously your quarterback's always going to kind of lead the topic of discussion, even though the Broncos defense is so good. Is Bo kind of like the Broncos? Like, we still don't know how good he really is at this point. What's your assessment of him now? I've asked you weeks ago, but where do you sit on Bo Nix?
The same as it was. I mean, it's a kid. It's growing up. You know, he's certainly a gamer. He's one of those guys that turns it on at his best when you need it the most, when the lights come on, when the lights are the brightest. You know, and it reminds you, I know it's a bit of a derogatory statement, but it reminds you a little bit of Tebow in that way. You know, it's just a guy that finds a way, that digs down, finds that extra 10% when you need it, and does that. And I can sort of relate to that on a personal level. For me, you know, whenever I was playing a sport, whatever the sport may be, you know, I would kind of goof around for a while, and then, you know, when it started coming down to the end, I'm like, oh my, we're about to lose this. I need to step it up. And then, and then I kind of would. And so I can relate to that sort of mentality. I think Bo comes into games, you know, maybe running a little hot, a little nervous, you know, that kind of stuff. You can kind of see it, some high throws early, that kind of stuff. I think it takes him a minute to settle down, get in his groove, and then I think he gets the fourth quarter and says, oh, hell no, we're not losing, and digs deep and finds that. So I think, you know, I think he's got a little gamer to him. I still think, in terms of what he is as a quarterback, he kind of reminds me of Derek Carr, you know, a little bit, which, you know, fans around here kind of find derogatory, but it shouldn't be. Derek Carr was a very good quarterback. He just was on some really, really bad teams. So I think Bo, you know, Bo's kind of like Derek Carr. He's a top third of the league quarterback when all said and done, and, you know, great in clutch situations where Carr wasn't.
How do you practice that? Like, I agree 100% with what you're saying. It does seem like he's a little jittery early on in games, and then as it progresses and you get your backs against the wall, something clicks. Do you see him kind of, like you said, he's growing up. Do you see him growing out of that, or is that always maybe the in your just a prediction game here, do you see him just being that guy? Like, this is who Bo Nix is going to be.
He might just be that guy. I can relate. You know, I know what it's like to be nervous when you walk out there and you got all eyes on you and stuff. But as you start to get into a game, you sort of forget the crowd around you, and you just start, you know, you get your second wind, and you just start getting in the groove of things. So I can sort of relate to that, if that is indeed what it is. And I'm doing this from the lens of my own experience, but that's what it looks like to me. It looks like the same things I did, where I walked out there, I was nervous before, you know, it's all on me. I'm a little nervous when I get out there. And then, you know, then once you start playing, the pieces start falling into place, and you get that second wind, you start forgetting about the crowd, you just start focusing on the game, and you start to see it come along as the game goes along. He may be that person forever. I don't know. You can't practice it. You can't capture it or harness it or whatever. You just got to find a way to calm your nerves early and then be able to execute.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. The Broncos pick up Elijah Moore earlier in the week, Benjamin. And do you see him? I mean, I know they added him to the practice squad. Do you see him elevating and being a useful, like an actual productive part of this roster as we go further in the season?
I don't know. I mean, Sean Payton's never met the the reclamation practice squad receiver he doesn't want to forget about. You know, A.T. Perry was out there for a minute, different style receiver, but they had A.T. Perry, and you go back a little bit, Traquan Henderson and all this kind of stuff. There's guys out there that he's had that, you know, you're kind of looking at like, oh, this guy was productive for a flash there. Maybe we can do something, and, you know, nothing ever comes of it. So I'll have to see it before I believe it. You know, Moore's shown a flash here or there and has some ability, but who are you taking off the field to put him on? I mean, he's basically the Troy Franklin role. That's kind of what he plays. So you pulling Troy Franklin off the field, who's kind of been Bo's binky this season, even though he's not exactly been the most efficient receiver. I don't know. So I doubt big impact this year. Maybe you keep him around next year and he does a little something.
You talk about the binky. I thought I thought, you know, Courtland Sutton was going to be that guy because he certainly was last year. And then, honestly, Evan Engram, which maybe that's starting to unfold before our eyes here. I thought those two guys would ultimately be kind of the two reliable guys we're going to. But it has turned into Troy Franklin. Is that how this thing's going to go? Or do you see the, you know, Denver trying to make sure they get Engram involved more, which they seemingly have, and Courtland Sutton?
Well, the Courtland thing's interesting. It's fascinating to me because all of his touchdown productions come in the first half of games this year,
yeah.
To my knowledge. I'd have to go back and double check, but I'm pretty sure it's all come in the first half. And then you get Troy, who I think Bo just trusts him dating back to college. I think he just kind of knows and is the most familiar with him dating back to college, and that's sort of that safety blanket there, even though Troy's one of the most inefficient receivers, if not the most inefficient receiver on the team. Engram, we saw a little something. I tell you, watching that game against the Commanders, that, you know, you're in overtime and you can kind of see Bo growing up. He walks up there to the line. He sees Aaron Quarters. He calls a whip route. He checks the whip route for Engram. Sees he's ISO'd on Bobby Wagner. Hits him for that big gain down there inside the 10. We kind of saw Bo growing up there. I don't know if that was getting Engram more involved so much as it was Bo just recognizing what was happening.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. This Raiders game is huge. I mean, we're talking about tiebreaker stuff and common opponents. The Raiders, the Patriots are obviously pretty damn good, nice record, but they happen to lose to the Raiders to start the season. The Broncos kind of struggled, not defensively, but certainly offensively against the Raiders. So it's a pretty significant game coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, it is. This one's going to be a little bit different because it's in Las Vegas, but you get a full week to practice instead of just the 4 days for the Thursday night game. So I expect a little more fireworks on offense. We'll see. The Raiders, I mean, there's just a familiarity. Anytime you got a division game like that, they tend to be tough. There's just more familiarity there. You just know what teams are trying to do, and they tend to be a little lower scoring. So we'll see. I think the Broncos can win. The Raiders have fired just about everybody but Pete Carroll at this point, and they're going to be doing a hard reset on the roster next year. I think Pete will be back, but I think they're doing a hard reset on the roster. Might even be bringing in Kyler Murray. We'll see. And so it's just going to be, it's going to be a different team, I think, next year. But the Raiders, just to me, it would be a testament to Pete Carroll if he were able to find a way for this roster and this coaching staff to win this game.
And Broncos are 7.5-point favorites. Do you have any issue with that? You think the Broncos have any issue with that?
I don't think the Broncos care. I think as far as it's for me, I given the way the Broncos win but don't cover, I think it's probably on the other side of that 7. It's probably the betting number, but it's one of those things. I had them at 6.5 for the for the Washington game, and then they wind up winning by one, mm-hmm. thanks to the failed 2-point conversion. So, the old joke is that good teams win, great teams cover. Well, let's see the Broncos start to cover before we start doing that outside one touchdown lines.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. My confidence is, I believe in the Broncos, but there's a I'm why am I somewhat concerned about this game on Sunday?
I think you just saw the last one, and there's a bit of a recency bias. You look at this. Washington was a better football team than people thought. They're way better than their record. And so I think people are down on the Broncos because they beat Washington. They're only a 3-win football team. Well, Dan Quinn took over the defensive play calling on that team two games ago, and they've been a totally different football team since then. They're running Mariota out there. They're missing half their roster, and they're still putting up a fight. So I think that's part of it. I think part of it's looking at the last Raiders game where it was 10-7. I don't think Jeremy Crawshaw is going to have the yips punting again like he did in that game. Mm. So, I think we'll be all right.
Last one for you. Just going back to it, since you mentioned it, the failed 2-point conversion by Washington. Describe that Nick Benito play.
Oh, phenomenal. I mean, just made a game-saving play, honestly. Nichols was open in the flat. It was a slip sort of pick play screen type deal, and kudos to Cliff Kingsbury for recognizing those refs hadn't been calling that all game. Then you get the Broncos come out there, they show zone, they call timeout, they come back, they're going to run a zero. They've got Benito coming free off the edge, and he just makes a great play to save what would have been a game-winning 2-point conversion for Washington.
Would have been a devastating loss too. That would have been tough to take. But Nick Benito, man, I mean, you said it, well said. What more can you say about that guy? But Benjamin, my friend, I always appreciate it. And short notice jumping on here early in the 12 o'clock hour. Thanks for doing that and your support and joining us on the show and the nerd references, too. All the time. They're great.
Guys, this is this is what I'm here for. It's to bring nerd culture up there to Fort Collins.
Well, we need it. Michael loves it. He's going to record this and listen back to it later, I'm sure, just the first, 45 seconds or so. Benjamin, have a great weekend, man.
All right, brother. Take care.
All right. Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Okay, now coming up, we have Caden Reeder. He was a quarterback for Thunder Ridge High School. He just committed to the University of Northern Colorado, so he'll be joining the Bears as their quarterback. Where will he be on the depth chart? Who knows? I know they're still waiting on information about Eric Gibson Jr. But let's talk to one of the new Bears coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. I'm Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Stocking stuffer.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
Download your favorite KFKA podcast today.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
It's a Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. Welcome back into The Whole Show. So much to talk about. Man, it's been a sprint. This morning and now this afternoon. Speaking of sprinting, I hear this guy's kind of like a laser. Caden Reeder joining us now. Caden was the quarterback for Thunder Ridge High School this year. They had a massive turnaround in their season. And according to his social media account, and we're going to confirm here, but he announced his commitment to the University of Northern Colorado. Caden Reeder, quarterback, hopefully big time quarterback for the UNC Bears in the future. Caden, my friend, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. And that's a factual statement. I will be a big time quarterback for the Bears.
I love this, and I loved reading, and I know where you got this. I loved reading your profile on X too. 40-yard dash 4.79 laser, dude. I'm just gonna start calling you Laser. You know that nickname is gonna start sticking.
Yeah, I haven't been known for my speed up until the last couple of years, so that's new to me. But I'll definitely take that.
So. I was reading some of the scouting reports, though, and watching a lot of your highlights and everything. Yeah, don't sell yourself short, man. I'm seeing you move around, and that could be lethal for a Bears team that certainly needs a guy like that.
No doubt. That's definitely one of the reasons why I'm proud to be a Bear.
Talk to me about that decision process for you, man. Obviously, what you guys did, massive turnaround from a year ago with Thunder Ridge to this year, exciting, got into the playoffs. But what kind of, like, how does that process begin? Who are you talking to first? And then ultimately, what led to the decision to join the Bears?
Yeah, no doubt. So, first of all, I think none of this could be possible without my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
My play on the field,
this commitment, he's been a big role in that. So I want to first give him the glory. And then secondly, I didn't really think that, going from 0-10 my junior year, that it would honestly be possible to have this turnaround and be in the position where I'm blessed to be in right now. And I think that starts with Coach Madden and Coach Woj. Those are the two biggest pieces, I would say, to this puzzle. They are our new head coach. So our new head coach, Jay Madden. He came to us this off season, and then along with our offensive coordinator, Coach Woj, and they instilled, the confidence in me and really gave me all the tools to be successful. And I don't know where I would be without those two. Coach Woj, he actually went to UNC, and he's been with me this whole process, telling me, he loved his time at UNC, loves the program. And just has been telling me nothing but good things about Coach Lamb and Coach J-Dub. So, definitely Coach Woj has been a big pivotal, character in my life when it comes to this decision. And, the staff over at UNC, big thanks to them. They believed in me. They were my first Division I offer. And now I can proudly say it'll be my only, cause I am signed. I just signed today. That's news.
Awesome.
Yes, sir. So, and then not lastly, and most importantly, my family, my mom and my dad, they've been trying to just give me all the information that I need, been in my corner this whole journey, and I couldn't have done it without them. So, yes, sir. That's what I got for you.
Caden Reeder joining us, future quarterback for the UNC Bears, and he just made it official, signed today. I do a weekly podcast with Ed Lamb. We call it Football 52. And you know, Caden, I don't know the rules, man. I can ask him about you like last week or the week before that. Only if I bring it up, he can say, yes, I can confirm. We are recruiting. We are whatever. I don't even know, right, man. So that's why I was like, you know what? I'm just reaching out to you because I know I can talk to you, and I know I can talk to you about signing and everything. So I just appreciate it. But the rules are mind-boggling to me. So I thank you for clearing that up for us too, man. We're excited.
Yeah, I'm pumped. I'm ready to get up there. I'm anxious.
All right, so talk to me about last year. 0-10, in your mind, were you like, yeah, I'm going to be playing Division I football at the end of last season? Did you think that?
If I'm being honest with you, yes. I think that one characteristic that I value and hold true most is that I believe in myself more than anyone else. And I think that regardless of the outcome of the last season, I knew that I was going to find a way. My whole life I've been kind of riddled with adversity, and I think that that has helped me to have the mindset that I have now that, you know, regardless of what happens, it's all in God's hands and I'm going to figure out a way to get it done. So if I'm being honest, yeah, I think I did know that I was going to be a D1 quarterback regardless of what happened.
Now, obviously, you know about UNC and, you know, Ed Lamb's first year as the Bears head coach, they didn't win a game. And then last year they won one game. This year they got to 4. That's the most wins they've had since 2016. But it was also the losses that I was actually really impressed with. You know, we know what happened in Fort Collins. Probably should have been a win there. A bunch of other games that came down to a play or two. I mean, when you're looking at that, when you're hearing about that, because as you're, you know, you guys are courting each other, talking about your future with the Bears, what do you see from Ed Lamb? And I know you mentioned Coach Walter Scheid too. Like, what do you see from this group and being able to turn this thing around officially? Because I've been up here since 2005, and since the Bears joined, you know, the FCS ranks, they haven't been successful. So what is it about this coaching staff, relatively new, that makes you go like, yeah, not only can I join this team and be productive, but we can officially turn this thing around for the Bears?
Right. So like you said, I mean, they didn't have initial success, and I think that that's something that I can resonate with. And I think that, you know, to see their journey, see the process, and see that, you know, there is hope and that we are, you know, taking this thing in the right direction, I think that that's the biggest thing that I saw. And then another thing that I value just from my personal experience, not winning a lot of games, is that, like, those players on that team know how to deal with adversity now, right? They're not going out there winning every single game on Saturday. And that builds character. Like, you learn how to lose. You learn how to deal with losing. You learn how to bounce back from that. And that's something that these coaches have shown me that they can do, and they proved it this season. So that's definitely the biggest reason why I regardless of the initial success, I know that we're going to get it done. So
now we've been seeing it too, and I'm sure you've been seeing it, guys hitting the transfer portal. It can't be, you know, official until January 2nd. And again, another one of those fun rules to pay attention to, which you're coming into this world, man. Like when I started following college sports, it's been completely different from where we are now. But we did see recently two quarterbacks that were on this roster both enter that or announce that they're going to enter the transfer portal, and Peter Castelli and Caden Mr. Box too. You look at that, and I mean, you got to be thinking, man, here's this opportunity. I mean, I wish well for both of those guys, by the way, but you got to be looking at that saying, man, I have an opportunity here right off the get go to come in and compete for a starting job, right?
Right. I think that right now I'm just taking it one day at a time. I'm not really looking that far ahead into the future. Trying to finish this semester of school with great grades and continue to get better in this off season to set myself up for that opportunity. But I feel like if I get too hung up on all that stuff, all the outside noise, then I'm not doing my job, right? I'm not staying on top of my grades. I'm not getting better this off season. I'm not being the best person I can be off the field. So I just try to take things one step at a time, and whatever happens, happens. I know God has a plan, so.
And you're a very good student from what I hear too. I mean, National Honor Society, that GPA, fantastic. And no doubt when you talk about quarterbacks, that's something that people look at. You know, are you a smart dude? Are you a good student too? That stuff typically we see tends to play out on the football field too.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that I'm an athlete before, or no, I'm a student before I'm an athlete. That's why I'm a student athlete. And that's just a mindset that's been instilled in me since a young age. Both my parents went to Vanderbilt and got great education there. So the importance of education is definitely something that I hold high. And, you know, football only takes you so far, right? Like, at some point, this whole thing is going to come to an end. And one thing I hope I can say is that I can fall back on my education. So I'm always making sure that my grades are in check, because I know that that's most importantly the biggest thing right now that's you know, occupying my time is my grades over sports.
Caden Reeder joining us, man. You got like a 20-year plan, right? You've got like your plan. Like, you just, this is what coaches dream of, is getting guys like you that just have all these different priorities in check. I'm sure you have everything kind of like played out how this is going to go, man. And that's what comes with being a smart quarterback.
Right. I wouldn't say I have it all figured out, you know? I wouldn't say I have it all figured out. Definitely a lot more things to learn, and I'm so blessed to be in this opportunity. I couldn't have done it without the people around me and the support system. I'm just truly, truly blessed, and I'm ready to get to work. I'm ready to get up there and be a Bear.
Caden, tell me something interesting about you, man. I'm watching football highlights. I'm hearing you. I'm getting texts. You know, impressive kid. Love this interview. Tell me something unique about you outside of the football field in the classroom. That's tough. I put you on the spot, man. I put you on the spot.
Yeah, no. I think one thing that's very interesting about me is I love music. I think that I use it as kind of an escape. And I love all types of genres. That's like my off the field little niche is music. So
what's the go to genre for you, or is it like it's all over the place?
Right now, because if I'm being honest, it fluctuates. It changes almost every day. But right now, I'm into a little bit of 90s R&B. I'm kind of keeping it on the slower side today.
So. Okay. Yeah, look at that. Yeah. That is a unique answer right there. I don't get many. Yeah. How old are you, Caden?
I'm 18.
Yeah, I don't get many 18-year-olds like 90s R&B. I don't get many of that. So well done by you.
Yeah, thank you. That's credit to my dad. My dad has great music taste. And my mom.
That's awesome, dude. Hey, when I saw this news, again, your name had come up a lot, especially over the last couple of weeks, and I saw that news. Pretty excited, and you know, especially looking at the turnaround that you guys had with Thunder Ridge this year, man, just wish you the absolute best. What are you doing? Any other sports the rest of the way?
I might play baseball this season. That's still up in the air, but I've been playing baseball since I was 4, so I think I might get out there for my senior year. So,
all right, man. Well, we'll be looking out for that for sure. Just, hey, take care of yourself. You know, we want to see you ready to rock and roll by the time we get to next season.
No doubt.
All right, Caden. Hey, don't be a stranger. I know we're going to be following your career. You know, I'm going to be bugging you again in the future, and I'll probably have to go through the UNC protocol next time around. But, dude, don't be a stranger. We got to get you back on the show.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt. I'll be back on, and I appreciate you guys for the call and your time, and go Bears.
All right, man. Love it. Caden Reeder, future UNC Bear right there. Think he can, Mike, you think he can Reeder the defense? Yeah. I got there before you could get there, man. You didn't even hear it because you were still on with Caden. Did you hear what I said?
Was it about reading the defense?
I said, you think he can reader the defense? Yeah, that's pretty good, right?
Yeah, I would have told it better, but that's fine.
No. I'm trying to live it up to you know, your excellence over there on the other side.
I would have said, why is his GPA so high? Because he's a great reader.
Yeah.
That's better.
I'm more worried about what he does on the football field.
Look, I'm more worried about what he does in life.
Yeah. Well, no, like, don't get me wrong. I'm rooting for the guy no matter what, especially when we bring him on this show. They become part of the whole show, you know, network. But I'm excited for this guy. You know, he can move. He's got 4.79 isn't like, whoa, this is the fastest guy in the history of the world. But he can move around the pocket. He can get out of trouble if he needs to. I don't know what that looks like next season for him, because we're still waiting on Eric Gibson Jr., but that could potentially be, you know, the future of the UNC Bears right there.
4.79 is about twice as fast as I can run.
How fast do you think you could go if we clocked you right now on the 40?
4.79 times 2.
Really? That'd be... You think you could get it done? And I think you could get it done in under 10 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, if I'm going downhill.
Yeah, I think you could get... No, maybe not. 10? Let's go 15.
Let's go 15. And then afterwards, I'll be bedridden for a few weeks.
Yeah, 39 minutes after the hour. We got the quarterback toilet bowl coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Sounds like I'm losing in this. The fix is in. They got to him. They got to Danson, and I'm losing somehow. I was the overwhelming winner at one point, leader, I should say, and now I'm losing this. More Broncos Raiders talk coming up as well. And the CU Buffs made a very big hire at the offensive coordinator position, and he has a connection in the Big Sky Conference. We'll talk about him coming up next. It's The Whole Show, powered by Chevron, a Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
So, farewell. This will make you sad, Michael, former Bronco. Sounds like the Buffs are moving on from Pat Shurmur officially. Now, again, he wasn't the offensive coordinator down the stretch. He was the, I don't know, offensive advisor or something. But they're going to go with the, I guess, former head coach, Brennan Marion, the head coach of Sacramento State. They went 7-5 this year. 5-3 in the Big Sky Conference. He was with UNLV in the Mount West Conference last year and had a really good offense. He was under head coach Barry Odom. He was with Texas before that. He was the passing game coordinator and wide receivers coach at Texas under Steve Sarkisian. He was at Pittsburgh in 2021. Are you sensing a pattern? He was the wide receivers coach at Pittsburgh. He was with Hawaii in 2020, and he was with William and Mary in 2019. He was with Howard from 17 to 18. He was with Oklahoma Baptist in 2016. He was with Arizona State in 2015. Michael, every year since 2015, he has been, save for the 2 years he had with Howard, he's basically been into a different place every single year.
Does he get frequent flyer miles and frequent U-Haul miles?
Don't know. But he is, he has this offensive philosophy. It's the go-go offense that he has put together. And, you know, with this will be interesting. I mean, it's primary. A lot of times you got two receiver or two running backs in, and it's an up-tempo spread style of offense. I don't know. I was watching him break it down this morning on a YouTube video. Back in 2019, he created this offense, Mike. He obviously took bits and pieces from other things, but he's kind of an innovator when it comes to this. So his offense is used like creative alignments. They put both running backs on the same side of the quarterback and shotgun. They create matchup problems to exploit defensive spacing. The core principles here, I wrote these down, tempo, creating multiple options for the quarterback and using the run to set up play action and shots downfield. Some triple option type of opportunities here. On the surface, yeah, it just looks really good. And Sac State just had a pretty good recruiting class, but I don't know how many of those guys are going to go over to the Buffs from the Big Sky Conference to Colorado. Yes, Michael.
The Buffs will have two more wins this year, at least, than they next year than they did this year.
How many do they have this year? Three? Four?
I don't remember.
Uh-huh.
They had a bad year.
Very bad year. So you think this kind of move is that good? That good of a move? Or is it more of like get Pat Shurmur out and anybody's better?
Number two. I don't think a lot of people were sure, Mur, that this was a it was good to hire Pat.
Mm-mm.
Especially people in here in Colorado who had followed the Broncos who were like, what? He's still around?
Yeah, I'm surprised they went as long as they did with Shurmur. But no, this seems like a pretty good move. And, you know, and people are like, oh, man, he's jumped from team to team to team to team. Well, that's what you want, right? If he goes to CU and he ends up having a different job, a better job after next season, and he jumps again, well, then that means you were successful. So that doesn't bother me. Honestly, these guys, he's moving up the ranks. You know, he's a wide receivers coach. He's a he's a pass game coordinator. Then he's offensive coordinator at UNLV. That's what they do. So, no, the fact that he's moved so quickly actually should be a very big positive for the Colorado Buffaloes and this hire with Brennan Marion.
I mean, how many head coaches have you seen started off as an offensive assistant?
Mm-hmm.
Like, some we know one that was a ball boy. We know two that were like ball boys.
Yeah. Why are you pointing behind you?
I don't know. I was pointing down to Denver.
No, this is good for the Buffs. This is very good. And that go-go offense, man, it's interesting.
Is he going to get paid? Does CU have money?
Well, don't they have to buy out his contract, too? They're already like...
I hope he was working for free.
They're already like in the hole and stuff, so they're going to have to buy him out and pay him. But such is life with the Colorado Buffaloes. 12:49 the time. I like the move, though. If it ain't my money, that's fine. That's all good. I don't care. Go win football games. Make this show better, Buffaloes. You win, you make this show better. Or be really bad. Nowhere in between. We'll be
I'm
right
sure
back.
I like that. Ain't that my money attitude.
Yeah, bye-bye.
For Hall of Fame Preps Talk, listen to Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 at Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffaloes beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
DNVR Rams reported last night that former quarterbacks coach for the Rams, Matt Mummy, is not going to be returning to Colorado State. Not a big shocker there, but I'm a big Matt Mummy fan, so I'm rooting for the guy. I really wanted to see what this would look like if he was the full-time offensive coordinator, and we just never really got to that. And I just think that, you know, with Jay Norvell and how this thing unfolded, the rumor was that he was going to be the OC maybe in the offseason, then Jay kind of went back on it and didn't get to see it. But I'll be rooting for that guy every single time. I love that dude. So, unfortunately, it didn't work out here. All right, quarterback toilet bowl coming up next with Mike Danson, the dude down the hall. And Tanner Schwint of Good Morning NoCo. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.